ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಆಪ್ಯಾಯಂತು ಮಮಾಂಗಾನಿ ವಾಕ್ ಪ್ರಾಣಶ್ಚಕ್ಷುಶ್ರೋತ್ರಂ ಅಥೋ ಬಲಮಿಂದ್ರಿಯಾಣಿ ಚ ಸರ್ವಾಣಿ ಸರ್ವಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮೋಪನಿಷದಂ ಮಾಹಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ನಿರಾಕುರ್ಯಾಂ ಮಾ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ನಿರಾಕರೋತ್. ಅನಿರಾಕರಣಂ ಅಸ್ತು, ಅನಿರಾಕರಣಂ ಮೇ ಅಸ್ತು. ತದಾತ್ಮನಿ ನಿರತೇ ಯ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ಸು ಧರ್ಮಾಃ ತೇ ಮಯಿ ಸಂತು, ತೇ ಮಯಿ ಸಂತು. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತೇ ಶಾಂತೇ ಶಾಂತಿಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಛಾಂದೋಗ್ಯ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 7 ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ 18. ಯದಾ ವೈ ಮನುತೆ ಅಥ ವಿಜಾನಾತಿ ನ ಅಮತ್ವಾ ವಿಜಾನಾತಿ ಮತ್ವೈವ ವಿಜಾನಾತಿ ಮತಿಸ್ತ್ವೇವ ವಿಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸಿತವ್ಯೇತಿ ಮತಿಂ ಭಗವೋ ವಿಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸ ಇತಿ. ಸೊ ಆಸ್ ವಿ ಟೋಲ್ಡ್ ಎರ್ಲಿಯರ್, ಫ್ರಮ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ 17 onwards, ಈಚ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಈಸ್ ಒನ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ 17 ವಿ ಸಾ ಇನ್ ದ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್, ಟು ಟಾಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದಿ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಸತ್ಯಂ. These are peculiar methods of development unique to the Upanishads only. Therefore, to talk about Satyam, one should have Jnanam. And so, Jnanam is important. And O Narada, better you know what is Jnanam. This is what Sanat Kumara told him. Yada vai vijanati tada vadati. One who has got Vijnanam alone can talk about Satyam. Therefore, find out first what is Vijnanam. So, Narada obediently asks Sanat Kumara to teach Vijnanam, for which Sanat Kumara answers now. So, Sanat Kumara says, Hey Narada, you are interested in Vijnanam. If Vijnanam or knowledge is a substance, you can keep it in place and distribute it to everyone like prasadam. Suppose the Guru can keep a huge vessel of Brahmajnanam and a long spoon, you know, long Uddharani. And go on giving, it would have been easy. Tirtham, like Tirtham, you know, Tirtha Prasad. It can be distributed. But Jnanam can never be transferred in that manner. It comes only through Vedanta Vichara. Spiritual education one has to undergo. Therefore, he says, Yada vai manute. Only when a person enters into Shastric inquiry. And why do we insist on Shastra? Because Shastra alone talks about Brahman. No other pramanam deals with Brahman, atha vijanati. Then alone jnanam comes. Ma amatva vijanati. Without systematic Vedantic education, amatva. Amatva means without education, without inquiry, namatva. How do you split actually namatva here? Na plus amatva. And the word na should be connected with vijanati. So what is the order now? Amatva na vijanati, without inquiry one can never know. So all these are important because you should know I am not making any inquiry. In fact, I am holding back all my thoughts. Therefore, dhyanam is not a means of knowledge. Vedantic study, that alone is the means. That Sanat Kumara insists. Therefore, he says, matva eva vijanati. So only through Vedantic study one can know. And therefore, what should you concentrate on now? You should concentrate on Matihi Tu Eva Vijignasitavya Iti. Therefore, you should look for Vedantic inquiry. Therefore, your aim should be what? Tad Vijnartham Vijnanartham Sa Guru Meva Abhigachetam Samitpanihi Shrotriyam Brahma Nishtam. We already saw that in Mundaka Upanishad. So, you should look for Vedanta Vichara. Up to this are the words of Sanat Kumara. Then Narada, the obedient student, says, Okay, I am interested in inquiry. So, He Bhagavaha, O Lord Sanat Kumara, Matim Vijignyase Iti. I seek that inquiry. And for that, Sanat Kumara is going to talk further, which comes in the next section, section 19, we will read.
Yada vai shraddha dhati atha manute ನ ಅಶ್ರದ್ಧದನ್ ಮನುತೆ ಶ್ರದ್ಧದ ದೇವ ಮನುತೆ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾತ್ವೇವ ವಿಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸಿತವ್ಯೇಥಿ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾಂ ಭಗವೋ ವಿಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸ ಇತಿ.
If you have to make Vedantic inquiry, Upanishad inquiry, first what you should know? You should know that Vedanta is a direct means of Atmajnanam. And Vedanta is a valid pramanam that only gives Brahmajnanam. This is called Shraddha. Upajivya pramana swata pramanya jnanam Shraddha. That is the definition of Shraddha. The faith that Vedanta only is the valid pramanam for Atma or Brahmajnanam, that is called Shraddha. Therefore, he says, Yada vai Shraddha dhati. Remember the example actually we gave? If you want to look at your face, there is only one way. However powerful your eyes may be, what is that way? You have to keep a mirror in front. Similarly, for Atma Jnanam, there is only one mirror. And what is that? Vedanta Vakyam. That is the only mirror. So he says, Yada vaim Shraddha dhati. Only when a person has got Shraddha, Atha Manute, then alone he will inquire into the Upanishads. Otherwise, one will think Upanishadic study is only an academic pursuit. Many people say, do not study the Upanishad. It is only looking outwards. Upanishad book is outside, that we know. It is looking outwards. Therefore, do not look into the book. You have to look into yourself. Why? Because Brahman is inside. Therefore, close your eyes and look within. And if you look within, what will be there? Raga, Dvesha, Kama, Krodha alone will be there. You do not get Brahman. Therefore, many people do not know how important Vedantic study is. And therefore, Sanat Kumara says, only the one who knows the importance, Manute, he will make an inquiry. So, Ashraddha na Manute. So, how do you split that actually? Na plus Ashraddha. That na, nakara, that will become takara, Ashraddha. Without that Shraddha, na Manute. One will not make inquiry. He will try other methods like meditation. He will try not knowing the importance of Shastra Vichara. And so Sanat Kumara, he highlights it here. Shraddha eva manute. Only the one who has Shraddha will make Shastric inquiry. Therefore, hey Narada, what should you look for? Shraddha tu eva vijignasitavya iti. He should work to build up Shraddha. So, Vijignasitavya means what? Should be sought after. In fact, there is a suktam called Shraddha Suktam. And Shraddha is in our tradition personified as mother. So, Shraddha Devi. So, when a brahmachari puts on the sacred thread, since he is going to study the Vedas after initiation, he does many special prayers and pujas to build up what? Shraddha in the Vedas, in the scriptures. Otherwise, like the modern youngsters, they will take Vedas as a bunch of superstitions and useless scriptures. Therefore, build up Shraddha first. Iti. So up to this, this is the words of Sanat Kumara. And what does Narada say? Shraddha Bhagavaha Vijignasa Iti. Okay, I am an obedient student. Therefore, I am interested in developing Shraddha. Father Sanat Kumara has to answer now. He does that in section 20 that we will read. Yada vai nisthishtati ata shraddha dhati na anisthishtan shraddha dhati nisthishtan neva shraddha dhati nishtatveva vijignasitavyeti nishtam bhagavo vijignasa iti. So how to develop shraddha? Sanat Kumara says, yada vai nistishtati. Nistishtam means nistishtam karoti. Nistishtam karoti means what? Shankaracharya comments here is nistishta means guru susrushati sipravartan. So, paratvam. All those things one has to do. So, susrusha to the guru. Service, adoration, reverence shown or directed towards the guru. Because the more the person worships the Guru, if you remember actually the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about 20 virtues. Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam, Acharyopasanam, Shaucham, Sthairyam, Atmavinigraha. So when I act it out, then the mind also begins to develop a reverence towards the Guru. This is what is called faking and making. Initially when I do Namaskara, it is a mechanical, physical routine. But if I keep on doing Namaskara, Gradually, the physical action will bring about an internal transformation. And what is that transformation? Whichever object I worship physically, I develop reverence internally. So initially, my reverence is to the Guru only. I don't know the importance of Shastra at that time. But when I develop reverence to Guru, the Guru says, Hey Sishyam, whatever glory I have is not because of my body or mind, but because of my wisdom. Because before wisdom, nobody respected me earlier. After wisdom, people respect me. Therefore, respect is towards what? Wisdom. And this wisdom that I have is coming from where? From the Shastra alone. Therefore, the Guru repeatedly tells, Hey Sishyam, the real glory belongs to Shastram. And I have got the great wisdom from the Shastra only. Therefore, may you study this Shastram properly. I will teach you. Therefore, Shraddha in Guru and Shastram, they come only through Sushrusha, Nishtha, or Guru Seva. Even simple Namaskara will gradually develop that. Then Narada asks, what is Nishtha? And Sanat Kumara says, I will teach you Nishtha in the next sloka. So the next step mentioned is Kritihi, the integration of the personality, which is given in section 21 that we will read. Yada vai karoti ata nistishtati na kritva nistishtati kritvaiva nistishtati kritistveva vijignasita vyeti krithim bhagavo vijignasa iti. So in the previous section, Nishtha or Guru Sushrusha, Guru Seva was talked about. And here Sanat Kumara says, if one should have consistent Guru Sushrusha remaining in an ashrama as an antevasi, as a resident student, so one should have a disciplined personality. He says, yada vai karoti, only when a person practices self-discipline, karoti. Karoti, Shankaracharya, he comments it as what? Indriya samyama chitta ekagradati anushtanam. So, and by the discipline, we mean pancha jnana indriyas, pancha karma indriyas, chatvari, antakaranani, all of them should be disciplined. All the 14 organs must be focused. Without focus, one cannot remain in a gurukula. Therefore, he says, yadavai karoti. And for this integration of personality alone, the entire Ashtanga Yoga of Patanjali Rishi has been designed and developed. The asanas integrating the Annamaya Kosha, Pranayama integrating the Pranamaya Kosha, Pratyahara, Dharana and Dhyanam integrating the Manomaya Kosha, and Shastric study like Tarka, Shastra, etc. integrating the Vijnanamaya Kosha. So, the entire Ashtanga Yoga is coordination, the organization. Swami Chinmayananda uses the word, the orchestration of the personality. By which, what does he mean? All the organs should function like in an orchestra, where there are 20 violins, so many clarinets, so many drums, they are all there. And even if one instrument goes apaswara, it will be heard. Similarly, like an orchestra, my personality should be disciplined. That is karoti. Then what will happen? Nistishtati. The person can go to Guru and study Vedanta. Consistent and systematic study for a length of time is possible. So karoti atam nistishtati. Then alone it is possible. Na akrutva nistishtati. Without integration of personality, it is difficult to be a resident student under a gurukulam. Therefore, krutva eva nistishtati. This is to emphasize only by practicing the indriya samyama, one will get nishta or guru sushrusha. Therefore, what should you do? Kritihi tu eva vijignasitavya. May you understand what is discipline. And that alone is sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. The third one is shamadhi shatka sampatti, viveka vairagyam, then shamadhi shatka sampatti. And naturally Narada says, I am interested in that now. What should I do for that? So kriti hitu evam vijignasitavya. Up to this is Sanat Kumara's words, then kritim bhagavaha vijignasa. That is Narada's request to Sanat Kumara. Then Sanat Kumara says, section 22. यदा वै सुखं लभते अत करोति न असुखम् असुखं लब्ध्वा करोति सुखमेव लब्ध्वा करोति सुखमेव विजिज्ञासितव्यमिति सुखं भगवो विजिज्ञास इति. सो वाट् इस् द नेक्स्ट् स्टेज्? सनत् कुमार सेस् यदा वै सुखं लभते, ओन्ली वेन् द सीकर् सीस् द पासिबिलिटि आफ् आनन्द सुखम् in all the stages of sadhana as the destination, then alone one will undertake these stages. Why? Because ultimately everyone wants what? Ananda alone. Therefore the carrot which is held before is the ananda carrot. Once you say by integration you can go to guru susrusha, by susrusha you can get shraddha, by shraddha you can go to inquiry, by inquiry you can go to jnanam, by jnanam you will become satyavadi, by satyavadi you will become ativadi. Ativadi and all those terms you should be familiar by now. And when you become ativadi, you will get infinite ananda. The moment I say that, then alone a person will take the trouble of following all that, because he wants infinite ananda. Therefore, ultimately what is required? Sukha jnanam. One should know the potential of the possibility of sukham through all these various sadhanas. Therefore, Sanat Kumara says, yada vai sukham labhate. Sukham labhate, that should be understood properly. Sukham labhate means what? Literally, when a seeker gets pleasure, sukham labhate. First, that is not the right translation. Because when the seeker knows that the sukham will be attained as the destination, then alone he will follow. So because if he actually gets sukham here itself, then he will not follow all of them at all. Because he already is getting right now. So when he understands the destination as ananda, it is called sukham labhate. Destination of what? The journey. And what type of journey it is? All these stages as ananda, ananda. So atha karoti. Then the person will go through all the stages to gain that ananda, because he knows he will get ananda ultimately. Na sukham labdhva karoti. If a person thinks that there is no sukham in that, he will never pursue that sadhana. Therefore, sukham labdhva na karoti. Asukham labdhva na karoti. Otherwise, one will not pursue if there is no sukham. Then when will a person pursue? Sukham eva labdhva karoti. Only when he knows that ananda is the destination. And that too, if you say it is infinite, I don't want Vedanta, because finite ananda I can get through other simple sources. Therefore, if I talk about alpa sukha prapti, then he will say I can get it through other means. So you have to promise what? Infinite ananda. And then alone a person will work for it. Therefore, he should know what is sukham, a person which is the destination of the spiritual journey. Further, Sanat Kumara is going to answer. All these are one mantra in one section, in each section. Section 23. Yo vai bhuma tat sukham na alpe sukham asti bhumaiva sukham bhumatveva vijignasitavya iti bhumanam bhagavah vijignasa iti. So now these are important sections. In this section alone, Bhuma Vidya starts. We said chapter 6 is Sadvidya. Now it is Bhuma Vidya. In Sadvidya we got Tattvamasi. Here it is Bhuma Vidya. Up to section 22, it is all only preparation grounds. The main theme of the 7th chapter begins from this section only. So 23rd section up to the end of this chapter, that is section 26, only these four sections alone deal with Bhuma Vidya. So first 22 sections of chapter 7 are preparations. Four sections only for actual teaching. So here, Narada asks the question, Sukham Vijignase. What is happiness? Very important question. And Sanat Kumara says, Yo vai Bhuma tat Sukham. Bhuma, Bhuma means the limitless, the infinite one, popularly known as Brahman. Brahman and Bhuma both are synonymous. Both mean the infinite. The only difference is what? Bhuma is masculine gender. The word Brahman is neuter gender. Brahman is not neuter. The word Brahman is neutral gender. In Sanskrit, the words too have got genders, irrespective of the meaning. This we have seen earlier also. The word Mitram, Mitram means friend. The word Mitram is neutral gender. Similarly, the word Dhara means wife. We know wife is feminine, but the word Dhara is masculine. Thus, in Sanskrit, words have genders. And these genders have nothing to do with the meaning of those words. Here, Bhuma is masculine gender, Nakaranta Pullingaha, Bhuman Shabdaha, Bhuma, Bhumanav, Bhumanaha. Whereas the word Brahman is neutral gender, Nakaranta Napumsakalingaha, Brahman Shabdaha, Brahma, Brahmani, Brahmani. And here, Sanat Kumara says, the infinite Brahman alone is Sukham or Anandaha. This is parallel to the Bhrigavalli Vakyam that we have seen in Taittiriya Upanishad. Anando Brahmeti Vyajanat, Anandadhye Vakalvimani Bhutani Jayante, Anande Najata Nijivanti, Anandam Prayante Visham Vishantiti. So the same idea is given here. Brahman is happiness. And we should be very careful. We do not say Brahman is happy. Brahman is happiness. It is pleasure. It is anandaha. It is joy. Joy is Brahman. And yovai bhuma tat sukham. And then Sanat Kumara says, alpe sukham na asti. There is no happiness at all in any finite thing in the creation. Alpe means what? Alpe vishaye. In a finite object, there is no happiness. In the finite body, there is no happiness. In the finite mind, finite thought, there is no happiness. Happiness is not a part of any finite thing in the creation. So from this statement alone, we have to derive the five features of happiness, which is very, very similar to the five features of consciousness. We have seen this many, many times. I am repeating also many, many times so that we can remember. And what are the five elements, five features of happiness? Because the Upanishad says, happiness is not there in the world, body, mind, or thought. Then our conclusion is what? Happiness is not a part or a product or a property of anything in the creation. Why do we say so? Because of the Upanishad Vakyam, alpe sukham na asti. Mind is alpam or analpam? You know, mind is alpam. In the mind, there is no sukham at all. The Upanishad says, so happiness is not a part, product, or property of any object, including the mind or thought. Then the second feature of happiness is what? Happiness is an independent entity. These are all same like existence and consciousness. Happiness is an independent entity which pervades certain minds at certain times and manifests as Pratibimba Ananda, reflected Ananda, the reflected joy. Happiness is an independent entity which pervades certain minds at certain times. Certain minds at certain times means what? Whenever you are happy, at that moment of joy, in that happy person, in that happy mind, the happiness is manifest or reflected. And that does not belong to the mind, but it is separate. Just as the brightness of moon on Purnami day is only manifest upon the moon but does not belong to the moon. Similarly, during happy moments, the infinite Ananda is only manifest in the finite mind. But it does not belong to the finite mind, so it is reflected in mind. Tasya, actually again the Bhrigavalli, Tasya priyame vashiraha modo dakshina pakshaha Pramoda Uttara Pakshaha Ananda Atma. The Priya Vritti or Moda Vritti or Pramoda Vritti, we saw all of them in Tattva Bodha and also in Taittiriya Upanishad. The mind gets Priya, Moda and Pramoda Vrittis certain times. At those times, the all-pervading infinite Ananda reflects in the mind but does not belong to the mind. Therefore, what is the second feature of Ananda? Happiness is an independent entity which reflects in the finite mind at some time. Then what is the third feature of happiness? Happiness is not limited by the boundaries of the mind or thought. Happiness extends beyond the mind and thought. It is all-pervading, just like consciousness. And actually in the sixth chapter of Chandogya Upanishad, we said, the pure existence is ஆல் பர்வேடிங் சதேவ சௌமியம் இதமக்ர ஆசீத். நவ் வி சே லைக் த கான்ஷியஸ்னஸ், லைக் த பியூர் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ், த பியூர் ஹாப்பினஸ் வித் கேபிட்டல் ஹெச் ஆல்சோ இஸ் நாட் லிமிட்டட் பை த பவுண்ட்ரிஸ் ஆஃப் தி பாடி மைண்ட் காம்ப்ளெக்ஸ். வென் ஐ கோட் ஆல் தி சதேவ சௌமிய சித்தமக்ர ஆசீத் ஆல் தி உபனிஷத் வாக்கியம் சாந்தோக்கிய சிக்ஸ் சாப்டர், இஃப் யூ கோ த்ரூ இட் யூ நோ இன் சம் அட்லீஸ்ட் சம் இன்டர்வல்ஸ் ஒன் மே பி ஏபிள் டு ரிகலெக்ட் சம் ஆஃப் தெம். இட் இஸ் ஆல் பர்வேடிங். This is the third feature of happiness. This happiness is capital H. Then what is the fourth feature? That pure happiness continues to exist even when the happy thought in the mind ends. When the happy thought in the mind ends, only the thought ends. But the pure happiness continues to survive, continues to exist even when the priya, moda, pramoda vritti subside. The pure happiness continues to exist. What has ended then? Only its reflection in the thought. The pratibimba ananda has ended, but the pure bimba ananda continues to exist. Sayascha yam purushe yascha savaditye sayekaha sayaye vambitim asmalokat pretya. Again, Taittiriya Upanishad. And again, in Taittiriya Upanishad Brahmananda Valli Visam, Raso Vaisaha Rasagrihyevayam Labdva Anandi Bhavati Kohyevanya Kat Pranyat Yadeva Akasha Anando Nasyat. We tried to, you know, relate to many of these readings earlier, just to, number one, to refresh ourselves. Number two, Upanishads everywhere, they all talk about the same subject. Ananda is referred to be the word rasaha in this particular quotation we said just now from Taittiriya. And what ananda? Bimba ananda, the pure happiness. So what is the fourth feature now? Pure happiness continues even when the happy thoughts in the mind are replaced by unhappy thoughts. Even during unhappy thoughts in the mind, pure happiness exists. And then what is the fifth feature of happiness? Even when the happy thought ends, or even when the mind is dissolved, the surviving pure happiness is not accessible to us. The surviving pure bimba ananda, the original happiness, instead of original consciousness, we have to say now original happiness. The original happiness is not accessible to us, not because it is absent, but because there is no medium for its manifestation or reflection. These are all same like consciousness and existence. This pure happiness is Bhuma, or Bhuma is the pure happiness. And in the world, there is no happiness at all. Whenever a person argues that I am getting happiness from music, dance or food, all those things, what will be our argument? Our argument will be, they do not produce happiness, they only create a condition in which Brahmananda is reflected. They do not give happiness themselves. What is the example we give? The dog bone example. Never forget that example. The dog gives the argument what? Before biting the bone, there was no blood. After biting the bone, there is blood. So bone is very sharp-edged object. Therefore, the dog uses again anvaya vyatireka logic. Bone sattve, blood sattvam. Bone abhave, blood abhavaha, tasmat bone evam bloodasya karana. The dog argues. And when the dog gives this argument, we laugh at the dog and say it is foolishness. Bone only brought out the blood from the dog's mouth, which was within the dog itself at that time, all the time. Because bone is extremely dry. How dry is the bone? It is bone dry. Similarly, all the music and dance, according to Vedanta, is what? Bone only. They are dry. They do not have even a dot of ananda. There is only one source of ananda in the entire creation. And what is that? Bhuma. Therefore, Sanat Kumara says, Alpe sukham na asti. Alpe jagati. And alpam includes all the sense objects in the world. All family members, do not get angry with me on this. All the family members, you know, your own body, your own mind, all of them do not have even a dot of ananda. So, bhuma eva sukham. therefore bhuma tu evam vijignasitavyam. May you get bhuma vidya. For what purpose? To get sukham. Up to this is Sanat Kumara Vacham, then Narada Vacham. And then immediately Narada jumps up and says, Bhumanam Bhagavaha Vijignasa Iti. I want to know that Bhuma. Hey Bhagavaha, Bhumanam Vijignasa. Again, Bhuma is not feminine gender, like the Bala, Bale, Balaha, you know, or Rama, Rame, Ramaha. So it's not that. We have to, it's not the Akar and the Sri Linga. So also do not say Bhuma, Bhume, Bhumaha. In Sanskrit, as I told you just now, Bhuma is masculine gender, so even though it ends with Akara. Normally, Akara is feminine, Akara and the Sri Linga. Means lady, feminine means lady. Here it is masculine. Nakaranda Pumlingaha, Bhuman Shabdaha, Bhuma, Bhumanav, Bhumanaha, Bhumanam, Bhumanav, Bhumanaha. So that is why here it is written as Bhumanam. Dhritiyam, Vibhakti, Yagavachanam. So, and in this section, two statements are important. Bhuma Sukham and Alpe Sukham Nasti. Both are like important vakyas. Now, Sanat Kumara is going to define Bhuma or Brahman. And what is the definition of Brahma as Brahman? Section 24, we will read. Yatra nanyat pasyati, nanyat shrunoti, nanyat vijanati, sa bhuma, sa yatra anyat pasyati, anyat shrunoti, anyat vijanati, tadalpam, yovai bhuma, tadamritam, ata yadalpam tanmartyam, sa bhagavaha, Kasmin pratishtita iti sve mahimni yadivana mahimniti. This is the most important section of this seventh chapter. Because the definition of Brahman is given in this section. And what is the definition of Brahman or Bhuma? Sanat Kumara says, Yatra. Yatra means Brahman is that pure existence principle. Existence is not mentioned here. That we borrow from the sixth chapter. From where? Sadeva somyam idamagra asir. Then we have to remember here, yatra. Yatra means sati. So, satvastuni, Brahman is that pure existence in which there is no subject-object duality. Actually, this section is going to be very important in the way we are going to develop the discussion. Or to put it in another language, the non-dual existence principle is called Brahman. Or the non-dual consciousness principle is Brahman. And the duality is generally in the form of subject and object. Experiencer and experienced. Knower and known. Seer and seen. Hearer and heard. Therefore, a few examples of duality are given here. What is the first example? Anyaha anyat na pasyati. Anyaha means one subject. Anyat pasyati perceives another object, perceives an object. And na is what? The negation of that. So Brahman is that pure existence in which there is no perceiver perceiving an object. Or to put in another language, there is no perceiver perceiving an object. There is no perceiver subject. Perceiving an object, that is, in which the perceiver perceived subject-object duality is absent. That pure existence, that non-dual existence, that is called Bhuma or Brahman or Ananda. Anyaha anyat na pasyati. Seer-seen duality is negated. Then another example is given. Anyaha anyat na shrunoti. A hearer subject does not have a heard object. That means what? Hearer heard duality is absent. So Bhuma is that pure non-dual existence in which hearer heard duality is not there. Then another example is given. Nanyat vijanati. Anyaha anyat na vijanati. There is no knower subject having a known object. There is no knower subject having a known object. That means what? Brahman is that pure existence in which knower known subject-object duality is not there. That is why Bhuma is called Advaita Vastu. Advaitam means what again? Where the subject-object dvaitam is absent. Or sometimes it is presented differently also. Bhuma is that principle in which there is no Triputi. Means what? The triad in the form of subject, object, instrument. Seer, seen and seeing instrument. Hearer, heard and hearing instrument. Knower, known and knowing instrument. So either you say duality is absent or you say plurality is absent. So whatever you say, Brahman Advaita Satta, pure existence. And therefore, how should you know Brahman? Very, very simple. You take the existence available in the world and where it is available. If I ask you where it is available, what should you answer? You should not answer. You should ask a counter question where it is not available. Brahman is there in every object. In the form of what? In the form of existence. Therefore, wall is, chair is, table is, pen is, mic is, student is, teacher is. You appreciate the isness in everything. And what should you do? Negate the duality in the form of subject-object, seer seen, hearer heard. In short, negate entire creation and retain what? Only pure existence. That is Bhuma, that is Brahman, that is Ananda. Thus, this is a statement which negates the duality and retains what? Only pure existence. And therefore, this definition of Brahman is called Dvaita Nisheda Vakyam, a statement which negates duality, Dvaitam. And since the entire universe is Dvaitam only, in the form of subject-object, we can say this is a Vakyam, a statement which negates the entire universe, Prapancha Nisheda Vakyam, retaining what again? Pure existence. And this Nisheda Vakyam is not new to us. In Katopanishad we saw, in Kaivalya Upanishad we saw, Nisheda Vakyams are there. Na Bhumi Rapo, Na Vannirasti, Na Chanilo Mesti, Na Chambarancha. And again in Muntaka Upanishad we saw, again. And in Kena Upanishad, Neha Nanasti Kinchana, very famous words we have already seen. There is no duality at all. Again in Mandukya, Nanta pragyam, na bahish pragyam, no bayata pragyam, na pragyanaganam, na pragyam, na pragyam, prapanchopashamam, shantam, shivam, advaitam. And again, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we are going to see, neti, neti. So all these negation statements are very, very important for an Advaita student. So because when the Upanishad negates the world, an important idea is conveyed. What is that idea? You should know two important laws or principles, very important principles. One is, what is existent cannot be negated. What is existent cannot be negated. Why? Because it is existent. That is number one, very important. And number two, what is non-existent need not be negated. Why? It is non-existent. Therefore, whatever is negated has to be something different from existent and non-existent. Whatever is negated has to be something different from existent and non-existent. Right. And what is existent cannot be negated. What is non-existent need not be negated. Therefore, whatever is negated has to be something different from existent and non-existent. Okay. In Vedanta Shastra, it is called Sadasat Vilakshana. Sat, Asat, Vilakshana. Whatever is negated by Upanishad has to be what? Sat, Asat, Vilakshanam, that is Mithya. Vilakshana means different from. Sat means existent. Asat means non-existent. So therefore, Sat, Asat, Vilakshana means whatever is different from existent and non-existent. That is called Mithya. Sat, Asadhyam, Anirvachaniyam, Mithya. Then how can we understand the word Mithya in English? Swamiji says, nowadays, Whenever our children use a word, they say word for everything. In India, it is very common. Yeah, at the end of every word. I am coming, yeah. You are going, yeah. Similarly, mithya means what? Myth plus yeah. Yeah, myth. It is neither existent nor non-existent. It is seemingly existent. Thus, by negating the world, the Upanishad says the entire world is seemingly existent. That pure existence is called Bhuma. And in that Bhuma, the duality is seemingly existent, but it is not really existent. Or to put in another language, Brahman is the adhishtanam, the substratum, the support of the mithya duality and the seeming duality. And this Brahman lends existence to the seeming duality in the form of hearer, heard, etc., all that, seer, seen, all those things. And some more corollaries also can be derived from this mantra. Actually, Shankaracharya writes a long bhashyam on this and gives lot of importance to this topic, because this is the crucial definition of Brahman, especially as Ananda, the non-experiential Ananda. We get this topic in two places. One is this particular mantra in Chandogya Upanishad, and another one is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It is called in the third chapter, Nayanth Brahmanam, the last mantra that is going to be, and we see Brihadaranyaka next, we will see that mantra. Brahman is defined as Vijnana Anandam Brahman. Here the word Sukham is used, there the word Ananda is used. That is the only difference between this and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In both places, Shankaracharya writes a significant commentary, important commentary. We will share a few points from Shankara's commentary. It will make our thoughts clear, because from the Advaita angle. And now what Shankara says now, many people, they mistake this definition as a non-dual state. We have to be closely with me. As a non-dual state, yatra nanyat pasyati. When the Upanishad said this statement, there we have to understand as the definition of non-dual Brahman, which non-dual Brahman is available all the time. This is not there at a particular time. This non-dual Brahman is available all the time. All the time means what? In the three avasthas, Jagrat avastha, Swapna avastha, Sushupti avastha. But it is mistaken as a description of a non-dual state as Advaita avastha, which creates a lot of problem. Because, really speaking, there is no such a thing called non-dual state. State means what? Avastha. So, Advaitic avastha does not exist at all. Any state of experience you go through, that is Jagrat avastha, Supna avastha, Sushupti, Samadhi, Maranam, Pralayaha, Murcha means unconscious condition, all the different avasthas that we can imagine are all dualistic states only. There is no such thing called non-dual state. Only that is of two natures. What are the two natures? In certain dualistic states, duality is in passive condition, or in some others it is in active condition. Thus, all the states are either active duality or passive duality. There is no state called non-dualistic state. Advaita avastha nasti. In Jagrat avastha or waking state, the duality is active or passive? It is active. During Swapna, again duality is active. During Sushupti, here only we should be careful, duality is there or not? Our tendency will be to say, duality is not there. But we should know, during Sushupti also, duality is very much there. But in what form? In passive, dormant, unmanifest form. Similarly, in Samadhi, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, all that. In Samadhi also, you cannot call it non-dual state. Duality is in dormant form. Similarly, during unconscious state also, it is passive duality. During Maranam, again passive duality. During Pralayam, passive duality. There is no such state called Advaita Avastha. It is a misnomer. And this is clearly proved by Shruti, Yukti, Anubhava. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, we have already seen అవ్యక్తాదీని భూతాని వ్యక్తమధ్యాని భారత అవ్యక్తనిధనం ఏవ తత్ర కాపరిధేవన. ఇట్ క్లియర్లీ సేస్ అర్జున, యూ గో ఫ్రమ్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ డ్యువాలిటీ టు అన్మానిఫెస్ట్ డ్యువాలిటీ అండ్ అగెయిన్ కమ్ టు మేనిఫెస్ట్ డ్యువాలిటీ. దర్ ఈస్ నో అద్వైత అవస్థ స్టేట్ అట్ ఆల్. దెన్ యుక్తి ఆర్ లాజిక్ ఆల్సో సేస్ ద సేమ్ థింగ్. షోస్ దట్ మ్యాటర్ కెనాట్ బి క్రియేటెడ్ ఆర్ డెస్ట్రాయిడ్. Therefore, whatever state you go through, the dualistic universe will continue. It can never be destroyed. Only condition is what? In pralaya, it will be in dormant form, not destroyed. So logic also proves there is no advaita avastha. And our anubhava, our experience also proves that all the avasthas are dualistic. In sushupti, we are in which state? Dualistic state only. But in potential form, in dormant form. And our anubhava is, again, this also, how do you know that there is duality in sushupti? Suppose during sushupti, the duality is destroyed. Let us assume. What will happen? Suppose when you go to sushupti, the body is destroyed. Your house is destroyed. Your mind is destroyed. What will happen? You will never wake up. Not only that, if the body gets destroyed in sushupti, you will never go to sleep also. You will put chili powder in the eyes and keep wide awake. Similarly, in Nirvikalpaka Samadhi also, we have Advaita state or Dvaita state. Again, important question. We should carefully note that Nirvikalpa Samadhi is also Dvaita Avastha only. How? Again, this person wakes up. The mind wakes up. The thoughts wake up. Similarly, during pralaya also, Dvaita Avastha is very much there. What proof? Again, next Srishti comes. Therefore, the first and foremost important thing to notice, there is no such a thing called Advaita Avastha. So, Advaita Brahma Jnanam should be gained in Dvaita Avastha only. Advaita Brahma Jnanam has to be gained only in Dvaita Avastha. And for argument's sake, for example, if you imagine an Advaita Avastha, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, it is of no use to us if there is one. Why it is of no use? In that non-dual state, what all will be there? What a question it is. There cannot be a second thing because it is non-dual state. There can be only one thing. So in Advaita Avastha, there is only one thing which should be only Atma. Now let us imagine. There is an Advaita state. It is not there, but let us imagine, for sake of argument. So when Atma alone, where Atma alone exists, so everything disappeared. Body, mind, intellect, thoughts, even Guru, poor Guru also disappeared. Everything disappeared. Atma alone is there. Now tell me, what is the use of that Atma? Because Atma cannot get any knowledge by itself. If Atma is the knower, there will be no known. If Atma is known, there will be no knower. Therefore, even if there is an Advaita Avastha, it is of no use to the seeker because pure Atma is not a knower of anything. It is apramata. And so, Advaita Avastha is not there. Even if there, it is of no use. Because Atma cannot know anything, knowing is a process. Process means change. Atma is changeless. It cannot do any action, including the knowing action. So the second important thing to note is what? Even if Advaita Avastha is there, it is of no use. And now the third important point is, again for argument's sake, let us assume, Atma knows itself. We have said Atma cannot know itself, but this is our second theory. But for argument's sake, let us assume there is an Advaita Avastha and Atma becomes a Jnani of itself. Then we argue, even if the Atma knows itself in Advaita Avastha, it's called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, that is of no use to us, even if there is an Advaita Nirvikalpa Avastha, in which Atma alone is there, knowing itself. All this will not happen. They are all hypothetical. But even if it is going to happen, it is utterly useless. Why? Because all our problems are in the mind and intellect. our ignorance, our confusion, our adhyasa, they are all in Atma or Anatma. They are all in the mind, in the Anatma. And in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, who gains knowledge? Atma gains knowledge. Then what about the mind? Mind was not there because we called it what? We called it Advaitic state. Only Atma alone is there. Therefore, even if in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Atma knows itself, my mind will continue to be ignorant. My mind will have its own problems. We will not get any benefit at all. Therefore, this mantra is not describing an Advaitic state or Advaitic avastha or a Nirvikalpa Samadhi state. It is describing the Advaitam Brahma, which has to be known in Jagrat Avastha. At the time of Vedanta Shravanam from the Guru, I have to use my intellect. And in this Dvaita Avastha, I have to know Brahman is Advaitam. It has to be known in which Avastha? Not in Nirvikalpa Avastha, not in Advaita Avastha. In the Dvaita Avastha, it should be known. Dualistic state. We have to gain what jnanam? Advaita jnanam, you have to gain in dualistic stage. And the dualistic state means what? Jagrata or Swapna again. Jagrata Avastha, waking, is also Dvaitam. Swapna is also Dvaitam. Don't ask, why can't I know in Swapna? In Jagrata Avastha itself, we are finding it so difficult. In Swapna Avastha, when vasanas only function and buddhi does not function at all, where is the freedom to decide what will happen? Therefore, this mantra is not describing Advaita Avastha, but describes Advaitam Brahman, which has to be known in Dvaita Avastha only. That Avastha is the Jagrat Avastha, waking stage. How do you know that? With the help of Guru, Shastra, Upadesha, Pramanam. Only one way. With the help of systematic teaching, I should know and recognize this Advaitam Brahman. Then the next question is, how can we know Brahman as Advaitam in Dvaita Avastha? Very interesting topics. In Dvaita Avastha, I can know only what? I can only know Dvaitam. How will I be able to know Advaitam Brahman in Dvaita Avastha? This question people may ask. And further we answer that in Dvaita Avastha, even though we continue to experience duality, with the help of Shastra Pramanam, we understand that the experienced duality is of a lower order of reality, not worth counting. It is exactly like keeping a mirror in front of me and I experience two people. One is myself and the other one is what? A person in the mirror in front of me. So, who smiles when I smile? Who frowns when I frown also? Thus, even though I experience Dvaitam, what is that Dvaitam? I am number one and the second person is the reflection in the mirror, it's number two. I will still say there is only one person. Thus, Dvaita Anubhava is there, experience is there, yet Advaita Jnanam is possible. Thus, retaining the Dvaita Anubhava, remaining in Dvaita Avastha, remaining in Jagrat Avastha, using the Guru Shastra Pramanam, I will clearly know that there is only one non-dual Brahman. The experienced duality is not worth counting because they are all mithya of a lower order of reality. And this knowledge of Advaitam Brahman in the Dvaita Avastha is the aim of this first mantra in section 24, which we are seeing now. So if you see that, yatra yatra anyat pasyati, in that Brahman there is no duality. Even though we continue to experience duality, experience cannot challenge knowledge. This we have shown many times earlier. A valid knowledge can never be challenged by the opposite experience. Very important. What are the examples we have seen? We have seen several examples. The sunrise is an example. It's an experience. It will never challenge my valid knowledge that the sun does not go around the earth. The experience of a flat earth does not challenge my knowledge that the earth is spherical. The experience of stationary earth does not challenge my knowledge that earth moves very fast. The experience of a smaller star, twinkle, twinkle, little star, does not challenge my knowledge that stars are much bigger than the earth. Similarly, Advaitin has the knowledge, the valid knowledge, that Brahman alone is. This valid knowledge can never be challenged by the continuous experience of the duality in Jagrat Avastha. Therefore, we need not go to meditation. We need not do anything else. We need not go to Samadhi. Keeping the eyes open, we can gain this knowledge. Advaitam Brahma. And therefore, Sanat Kumara says, Saha Bhuma. This non-dual pure happiness is called Bhuma. Then, in the next sentence, Yatra yatra pasyati, anyat shrunoti, anyat vijanati, tad alpam. On the other hand, in the Vyavaharika field, in the empirical field, Yatra, Yatra means in the Vyavaharika Kshetre, anyat pasyati, there is no perceiver perceiving an object. Perceiver perceived duality is there. Anya shrunoti, hearer heard duality is there. Anyad vijanati, knower known duality is there. And in that Vyavaharika field, tat alpam, everything is finite. We have already said infinite alone is sukham. So we should derive a corollary here. Finite does not have even a droplet of sukham. Pramata pramanam pramatru prameya drashta drishtu drashtam none have sukham. Whatever they teach, wherever they teach finitude, sukham nasti, is not there, no sukham. Then naturally the question will come, if the Vyavaharika Prapancha does not have sukham, how can I derive happiness from all these other things like music, dance, TV, food, all those things? How can I derive pleasure, all of them? Yadi alpe sukham nasti, katam alpa vishayebhyaha aham sukham anubhavami. How can I experience sukham in all of them? For that, we already know the answer. What is the answer? They do not have the sukham, but they are only reflecting the Atma Ananda or Brahmananda. Remember the exam again, the dog bone example. But Swamiji gives another example here. Imagine you have got a mirror in hand. The mirror has got a glass, a frame, and a beautiful face. My own face or somebody's face. So I experience three things. The glass, the frame, and a nice beautiful face. Even though these three things are there, I experience only two belong to the mirror. The third does not. Which two belong to the mirror? The mercury-coated glass and the decorative frame. But the fact that I experience in it, even though it is intimately associated with the mirror, it does not belong to it, the image. If the face belongs to the mirror, what will happen? Every time you see the mirror, then the face will be there. Not only that, when I see my face, it will be there. When the second person also comes, he will see his face and my face. Therefore, we understand, though we experience three things in the mirror, only two belong to the mirror, the glass and frame, and one, the face, belongs to something else. Similarly, whenever I enjoy an object, there are three things I experience. One is called Nama, another is called Rupa, the third is called Ananda. And Vedanta says, as in the mirror example, only two of these belong to the object. Nama and Rupa alone belong to the object. The Ananda experienced there does not belong to Vyavaharika Prapancha. But it is Paramatika Brahmananda reflecting in the Vyavaharika Vishaya. And so Sanat Kumara says, Tad Alpam. Actually, in Swami Vidyaranya says, in Drig Drishya Viveka, I don't know when I'll have a time to do that. Asti Bhati Priyam, Asti Bhati Priyam Rupam. Nama chetam sya panchakam adhyatrayam brahma rupam jagat rupam tadvayam tatodvayam. So you experience five things always: Sat, Chit, Ananda, Nama and Rupa. Of those, Nama and Rupa alone belong to the world, and the other things, existence, consciousness and happiness, do not belong to the world. I'll take a few more minutes only to complete this. They belong to what? Bhuma. Therefore, look at the mantra again now. Tat alpam. Tat. Tat means any entity in the empirical world is finite. Alpam. And so is joyless. Yo vai bhumam tat amritam. Whereas this original ananda, which is none other than Brahman, that alone is amritam. What? Amritam means eternal. It does not die. But when the same ananda is reflected in the mind as pratibimba ananda, that reflected ananda is eternal or non-eternal? We can understand. Reflected ananda has to be non-eternal because it will be there only as long as the reflecting medium is there. Similarly, in the mind, when there is priya, moda and pramoda vrittis, we saw in Taittiriya Upanishad, when conducive thoughts are there, ananda reflection comes, which is always ephemeral. Pratibimba ananda is ephemeral because it depends upon mental condition, the vritti. Good news you hear, pratibimba ananda arises. Bad news you hear, the face itself becomes gloomy. So gloom to gloom is the lot of pratibimba ananda. Therefore, it is amritam or martyam. Reflected ananda will always be fleeting. That is why Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkayonaya evate adhyantavantak kaunteya nateshuramate buddha. Do not be attached to pratibimba ananda. When it comes, enjoy. But do not get attached to it, because in pratibimba there is gradation also. Priya, moda, pramoda vritti is happy, happier, happiest. Whereas in bhumananda, brahmananda, the original brahmananda, there is no gradation. And the reflected ananda alone is called experimental, experiential ananda. All experiential happiness will only be reflected ananda. That is why when experiential joy comes, this person jumps up and down, he even hits the ceiling. Thus, the reflected ananda is experiential, original ananda is non-experiential. Therefore, never ask the question, how to experience original ananda. You will never experience original ananda at all, just as you will never experience your own original face. What a tragedy. I cannot experience my original face. So, original ananda is a matter to claim for experiencing. Therefore, Sanat Kumara says, Yo vai bhuma. The non-experiential original ananda is eternal. The non-experiential original ananda is amritam, eternal. On the other hand, that yet alpam, the experiential ananda, reflected in the empirical world of duality, tat martyam, it will be perishable. Therefore, should we enjoy pratibimba or not? If anybody asks, we will say, certainly enjoy it. But with the knowledge that the joy is not coming from that object. Therefore, even when the object goes away, and even when the experiential pleasure goes away, I have not lost ananda. Because the original, the master, is not with any relation. Whether relationships continue or not, they have no power to take away the master copy, my ananda, my original nature, Brahmananda. Therefore, yet alpam tat martyam. Pratibimba anandaha is alpam tat martyam. So with this, the definition of Brahman or ananda is over. Now, Narada asked the question, Asa Bhagavaha kasmin pratishtitaha. O Lord, please tell me, where is that Brahmananda is located? What is the source and support of it? Because, you know, Vishayananda or experiential ananda has a support. Either we say it is in the external object, or we say it is in the mind, either inside or outside. Because experiential ananda is reflected ananda, which requires a reflecting medium. So, pratibimba anandasya ashrayaha vartate, bimba anandasya kaschit rupasya bhumnaha ashrayaha kaha. Pratishtita ka. What is the support? And Father Sanat Kumara says, what a question you are asking. Shve mahimni pratishtitaha. Brahman is supported by its own glory. Shve mahimni. Or in its own glory, mahima. Brahman is supported by its own glory. It is based on its own glory. And Sanat Kumara feels that this answer may confuse Narada. And therefore he gives another refined answer. That is Yediva. Otherwise, to be more precise, Namahimni. It is not based on anything. It is not supported by anything. It is unsupported. It is baseless. Brahman does not have a base or support. And these two answers, Sanat Kumara himself will explain in the next mantra. One is a general answer and then a refined answer. General answer is Brahman is supported by its own glory. And the refined answer is Brahman is not supported by anything. And the explanations of these two statements are going to come in the next mantra, which we will see in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prilinasya parasamaheshwarah shri krishna arpanam.